Delicious, delicious. My new favorite. My new favorite.
If it's rock. Better than Pinchas. Pinchas Levine.
What?
Pinchas Levine is the guy who comes here Thursday nights. See here, he's the one who.
He introduced us. He introduced us. All right, Chevra. A good Erev Shabbos. A good evening. Let's begin. So we'll say. So we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. being that in Eretz Hashem. We're just a few days away from Chanukah, Yom Tov of Chanukah, Malin Letova. So last week, you know, we did a beautiful piece by the Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Evne about Chanukah, a really powerful piece about crushing the olives. So this week, I want to do something a little bit different. The truth, before we start, I really want to give a very special shakoach to Reb Tzvi, who really, like every single week, does such an incredible job in putting together such a nice spread. Such a nice bread, really very special. And I don't know how we did it. We were just at a basketball game together, literally again, like 20 minutes ago. And he didn't
and
have
he
any,
was at 7 miles,
and he didn't have any of this prepared, you know. And Baruch Hashem, like incredible. So, Rabsi, thank you very much. And Rabsi, who are our sponsors today?
Ivan and I have to pull it out.
Okay.
Rosenblum's parents.
Okay.
Websites and. met Mark's, oh, and Ivan's father's 32nd yard site.
Wow.
First night of Hanukkah.
Hashem is having aliyah.
And met Mark's sponsor, Zecher Nishmas, Gedalia's sister.
Gedalia's sister. Beautiful.
Who was Nifter yesterday.
Yeah.
So I was there.
Yeah. Okay. We'll say so again. So thank you to all of our sponsors. And again, a tremendous Yasher Koach again to everyone for. First of all, it's so nice. It's so nice, Baruch Hashem, just to come together Erev Shabbos, to have, to make brachas together, to learn together, to farbring together a little bit. Really incredibly special, incredibly unique. So I'll say so. We're going to do something a little bit different tonight in that, to prepare for the Yom Tov of Hanukkah. And I know that, again, I know that already last week we weren't learning B'nei Machshava Tova. So Amir Tashem, after Hanukkah, we'll get back to B'nei Machshava Tova. We are going to do a piece from the Piyajetzna tonight, just a different sefer, Amir Tashem, actually a very moving piece by the Piyajetzna. But actually what I want to do tonight is really bring together to you two different pieces. One piece from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik V'Chodesh L'Bracha, and another piece from the Piyajetzna. So actually this is beautiful sefer, Ivan. I think you got me this sefer. I think it's possible. Yeah, I think so. You're one of my Lubavitch friends, so I'm saying somebody with
one,
success.
One,
Shulchan Shabbos. So there are many, many Svarim that take the Sichos of the Rebbe and kind of condense them a little bit, because the Sichos of the Rebbe are often very long. So they take them and like they condense them. So in this Sefer, it's actually very beautiful, called Shulchan Shabbos. So he does it, the Mechaber just took one of the Sichos and just condensed them into kind of like nuggets of ideas. So it happens to be that the Rebbe has a beautiful piece on Hanukkah in Parshas Vayigash. Because remember, Parshas Vayigash is always Shabbos Hanukkah. So that's what I want to start with tonight. So we'll see, everyone has a packet, a sheet. Here, the arts. I'm going to tap on some of these. That's yours.
When the Rav collects
these,
can you tell what we ate that night?
Yes, I can tell how.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
The
Alter Rebbe. Yeah, that's Kislev, 100%.
Yeah,
100%. Right.
Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. So we'll say, so let's begin this piece. And again, Emir Hashem, we're going to see it's a very deep piece. And we'll go from there into the Piyajetzna and Amir Tashem, tie these two pieces together. So let's begin. So the Rebbe, I'm sorry. So the Rebbe brings it down here. So it's page 1 on your packet. It says, Shabbos Chanukah, Hachag Shel Hasodos Hakimusim. So it quotes over here again from the Nusach of Al Anisim, L'Hodos U'Lahalal, which of course is Lashon of the Gemara. So the Gemara Masech Shabbos on Daf Chof Aleph Mabes, page 21b, discusses the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And in that Gemara, the Gemara tells the story, my Hanukkah. The Gemara goes through the whole story. And at the end of the Gemara, so the Sugya ends with the Gemara saying that Chazal instituted the Yom Tov of Chanukah 8 days, Lahodos Ulahalal. Literally again, Lahodos, ultimately again for a sense of gratitude, Ulahalal, and to give praise to Hashem. So the Rebbe writes as follows. He says, Chanukah, Misyachid Mishar HaChagim Bekach. So the Rebbe writes that Chanukah is incredibly unique. What makes Chanukah unique? Shebechol haChagim v'chein haShabbosos yesh chovas suuda ve'ilu yemei Chanukah lo kavum lemishteh v'simcha elo lehalavoda. So the Rebbe here points out something very unique about Chanukah, which again, the Rebbe is not the first person to point this out. Already the Mishnah Berurah points this out. Many others point this out as well. That Chanukah is unique in that there is no obligation of mishteh. There's no obligation of a suuda. There's no obligation to have a meal on Chanukah. And that's why when Chazal say Chanukah was instituted lehodos ulahalel. Lehodos, of course, again means that in modim, we insert alanisim bimei matisyo, and we recite halo, halo shalom, complete halo all the days of Chanukah. That's it. That's what you have. Of course, aside from the mitzvah of menorah, but there's no mitzvah of su'udah. There's absolutely no obligation to go ahead and have a festive meal on Chanukah. Right? The Mishnah Berurah writes, if you want to, the Shulchan Aruch writes, it's reshus. It's optional. Of course, you can make a festive suud on Chanukah, but there's absolutely no obligation. I will say, I'm sorry? It's chassidus.
To have a meal.
To have a meal. That's chassidus. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going above and beyond.
So,
I'm sorry? Marv is a reshus also. That is true. That is true. So again, to be clear, is it a good thing to have a meal on Chanukah? Absolutely. But what the Rebbe is focusing on over here is, well, say, if you think about it, the hallmark of every single yomtiv and Shabbos is the obligation of a seuda, right? V'samachta bechagecha, which is the biblical obligation to rejoice on yomtiv, means that you have to have a seuda. Ultimately, Shabbos, the karas of the Shabbos oneg Shabbos, is you have a seuda. So the Rebbe is just pointing out that Chanukah is unique and that there is no obligation. Hasuda, he writes, shenoagim laroch bechanukah hein bechinas rishus bilvad. So the Rebbe writes, if you want to have a seuda on Chanukah, absolutely, it's beautiful. But it's a reshus. It's optional. It's not halachically obligatory. The chovas achag, eino ela lahalal as Hashem, ud lahadlik es aneros lezecher neis pach Hashemin. Shabbos, I'll tell you something interesting about it. If you look at the Gemara, so the Gemara of Mai Chanukah, so when it discusses the Yomtiv, the first thing it says is Mai Chanukah. So the Gemara says, Chazal instituted 8 days, delo lemispud bahon, delo leis anos bahon. So it's interesting. Although there's not an obligation to have a suda, you're not allowed to fast on Chanukah. You're not allowed to fast, right? We don't deliver eulogies on Chanukah, no fasting. So it's interesting. You're not allowed to fast, but at the same time, there's no obligation of a suda. How do you go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah? 3 things. You light your menorah, you insert alanisim and modim, and you say halal. That's it. That's it. That's the entirety of Chanukah. You want to have a meal? That's reshus. That's fine. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Absolutely no obligation. The chovas achag eino el hodos al halik es aneros lezecher neis pach Hashemen. Good. So the Rebbe writes. So we'll say why. Why is Chanukah different, therefore, than every other Yom Tov we have? But Meir, you need a sheet. Sorry. However, there's still more sheets if anyone needs. It's plenty. So the second paragraph, we'll say, second paragraph on the first page. Siba sahev del azeh ben Chanukah l'chagim ha'achelos, novos mimahuso shalachad. So it says, just I'll give you the Pashup Shat. The Pashup Shat, that's why Chanukah is different than all the other Yomim Tovim, is because it's a fundamental difference in identity. Meaning what? B'chagim acherim ikar ha'gzera ha'isa al ha'guf shal am Yisrael, kimo ha'shiba Mitzrayim o gzeras ha'shmad b'porim. Lachina simcha bitl aparonos misbatas b'su'uda gashmis ha-misameches es ha-guf. So we'll say very simple distinction. The Rebbe says, if you look at all of our other Yom Tovim, right? So remember again, Pesach, we faced the threat of physical annihilation. Purim, we faced the threat of physical annihilation. So how do you celebrate? Now, obviously, one is biblical, one is rabbinic, but how do you celebrate those Yom Tovim? Whenever there's a threat of physical annihilation, the way we celebrate is how? In a physical way. Remember, Purim is the easiest contrast because Chanukah and Purim are like sister Yomim Tovim, right? Even though, again, remember, Purim happens right after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and Chanukah, of course, again, is in the middle of Second Temple era. So remember again, but they're often looked at as sister Yomim Tovim because they're both our rabbinic Yomim Tovim. So for example, on Purim, what was Haman's plan? Lahashmid, laharog, ula'abe, this kol Yehudim. Haman's plan was annihilation. Haman wasn't interested in assimilation. Haman wasn't interested in converting people. Haman wasn't interested. All Haman wanted was dead Jews. That's what Haman wanted. Lahashmid, laharog, ula'abe. And therefore, says the Rebbe, I will say, by the way, I'll point out, the Mishnah Berurah says the same exact thing. Says the Rebbe, therefore, the way we celebrate that is with a physical celebration. Right? So again, we were physically saved from a threat of physical annihilation. So therefore, the way we celebrate is with a physical celebration. On the other hand, ulam b'Chanukah ha'isa ha'gzera b'misha haruchni. It was Rebbe points out Chanukah is unique. Chanukah is unique. Why is Chanukah unique? Because Chanukah did not present a physical threat. The Greeks were not interested in the annihilation of the Jewish people. Fakir, just the opposite. The Greeks were interested in the assimilation of the Jewish people. The Greeks didn't want to kill us. They just simply wanted us to become part of their culture. By the way, I'll point out, they were ready to assimilate parts of Judaism into their culture as well. They wanted to take some stuff from us. That's right. And they wanted to bring it, but they wanted us to join them. So there was never really, at least initially, I'll point out, after attempts at assimilation failed, then the Greeks resorted to physical annihilation as well. But initially that wasn't the plan. The plan was assimilate the Jews, get them to join us, keep them alive and well, we just want them to become part of us. He goes on, therefore he says, "Lahashkicham sarasecha," right? What do we say in Alanisim? Well, what did the Greeks want? They wanted us to forget Torah. That's what they wanted. Therefore, again, lochein chogegim es zecher ha'atzala bebitoy ruchni hadlokas haner b'shemen. Therefore, says Rebbe, makes sense. So, because Chanukah represents a spiritual threat, Therefore, and we were saved from a spiritual threat. Therefore, what? The celebration and observance of Hanukkah is done with a spiritual celebration, right? So how is Hanukkah celebrated? Ultimately, again, Hanukkah is celebrated with the kindling of the menorah, right? The fire, the flame representing the Jewish soul. Again, we'll see what it represents even more. But the Ma'ase said that's how Hanukkah is celebrated. So therefore, we'll say this is the paradigm, ultimately, again, that the Rebbe is pointing out for us. Where there's a threat of physical annihilation, the celebration is physical. When there's a threat of spiritual annihilation, which I will say, really, it's only Hanukkah. It's only Hanukkah that has, right? Everything else has a physical component to it. So, yeah.
Have you ever heard the joke of like the theme of every Jewish holiday is they tried to kill us?
Right, right. But actually, it's not. It's what's interesting is they tried to kill us. It's just the different forms of annihilation and different Yamim Tovim. Absolutely. So everybody says, listen to this. So therefore, Hanukkah, which was a threat of spiritual annihilation, therefore the observance, so the celebration of the Yom Tiv, is not done with physical celebration, but rather with only spiritual means. Beautiful. That's setting the table. And we'll say, now watch what the Rebbe says. It's incredible. La'ar has beryas shel pnimas ha-Torah. Mekabel ha-inyan mashmal samuch yoseh. So the Rebbe says, okay. What I just told you, Rabbi Osei, what the Rebbe just told us, is what we call Torah's Hanigla. We'll say, what's Torah's Hanigla? Torah's Hanigla is revealed Torah. What's revealed Torah?
Litvish Torah, right?
It's revealed Torah, right? It's again, it's beautiful. It's good. Remember, you can't have Nistar without Nigla. But it's. We'll call it observable dimension, understandable. We'll call it surface dimension of Torah. Then is what's called Nistar or Pinimius HaTorah. Pinimius HaTorah says when we delve beneath the surface. Try to understand the neshama of everything. So I will say, when we talk about neshama, we assume that only a human being has a neshama. But the truth is, everything in this world has a neshama. Now, it's different than the neshama that you and I have, but what does it mean everything has a neshama? Everything in this world has something deeper associated with it. Everything has something deeper. Everything has something deeper. And I will say, every experience has something deeper. You know, I was just thinking about this on the way home. So we had a basketball game tonight between two of the Jewish schools in the community. And it's not important who won or lost. The loser always says that. It's not about winning. Everybody's a winner. So I'll tell you something interesting. You know, it's so fascinating. And like, it's funny now, like I go to a lot of these high school games and it's so interesting to see that like what you see unfold. You're talking about everything has a neshama. Even a basketball game has a neshama, right? And like the neshama of a basketball game often is like everybody's on the court and what are they aiming for? They're not aiming for a win. It's not about a win. What they're actually aiming for is greatness. You see, because what that win represents, the win is a portal to greatness, right? It's that portal to accomplishment, to self-actualization. And what's incredible is that when there's a loss, it's fascinating. There's like a heaviness of defeat, right? Even if you play it, there's a heaviness of defeat. Like, I was aiming for greatness, and it didn't happen. People say that happens to all of us. I mean, I don't mean on the basketball court. I'm saying, like, it happens to all of us. We all have moments like that in life where I was really trying to do something significant. I was trying to make something happen. I was trying to grow. I was trying to be better. And you know what? It didn't happen. It just didn't materialize. And that feeling of failure, that feeling of disappointment, that feeling of disillusionment, that feeling of being upset and angry and disappointed in yourself is profound. It's palpable. There's an neshama to everything in this world. Neshama to everything. So the Rebbe says, okay, so now I told you the nigla. I told you the, kind of we'll call it, the external understanding of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a Yom Tov which celebrates spiritual triumph, and therefore the celebration is only done in spiritual means. There's no physical obligation to celebrate the Yom Tov. But says the Rebbe, let's go a little bit deeper. I'm both saying, this is such a beautiful piece. Such a beautiful piece. Su'uda, look what he writes there earlier. So let's talk about why doesn't Hanukkah have a su'uda? So the Rebbe says, su'uda murkeves milechem mayim v'yayim. So it's interesting. What are the staples of a meal? The Rebbe says, you need bread, water, and wine. Bread, water, and wine. Those, I guess you could fry the bread, right? I'm just saying, you know, you can always deep fry. Right. So at the end of the day, the Rebbe says, like, if you think about it, a suda has three primary components, right? You have to have bread, right? Because remember, again, you're washing, so the bread makes the suda, right? You have to have mayim, you have to have water, and yayin. You know, yayin is often, again, what makes a suda chashuv, what makes it important. So look what he writes. He says, Shloshes hadvarim elu, Rome's in the Torah. Well, so you know what the common denominator between water, or I should say bread, water, and wine? Bread, water, and wine are all metaphorical allusions for Torah. Listen to this. Lechem u'mayim. So bread and water are obvious. Just like bread and water are the key components for sustenance, for physical survival. So again, that's why Torah is compared to lechem, Torah is compared to bread, Torah is compared to water. I can't exist without bread, I can't exist without water, I can't exist without Torah. Now, I'll say the other thing about bread and water is that bread and water specifically refer to what we'll call the revealed dimensions of Torah. The revealed dimensions. He goes on, he says, it's very interesting. You know, today, like in our day and age, right, there's often like a push towards Jewish mysticism, Hasidus, Kabbalah, which is all very beautiful. But before you get to any of that, there's just one thing a person should learn first, right? And that's Shulchan Aruch, right? Because you can learn all the Hasidus and Jewish mysticism and Kabbalah in the world, you're not going to know how to put on your shoes in the morning, right? In other words, I need the halacha to tell me how to act and what to do and how to live. And that's why learning of halacha is so incredibly important. The Nigla, so the Rebbe suggests the Lechem and Mayim, which are like the staples of existence, though, and again, Torah is always compared to water and bread, but it refers to what we call the revealed dimension, or the practical, or utilitarian dimension of Torah. The part of Torah that teaches us how to live, like practically, how to live and what to do. That's bread and water. On the other hand, yayin, shein tzorech kiyumi, never say wine. Does a person need wine to exist? No. No, I mean, if you think you do, see me after the shiur. You might have other issues. So again, wine is very nice. Wine is not a staple of existence. In other words, you don't need wine. He says, "Shein tzerich kiyumi ela mosif simcha v'chius." And we'll say, what does wine do? Wine adds. Right? Wine adds. You know, you can have a beautiful suda. Let's say nowadays, you know, you're having a beautiful suda, right? Beautiful entrees and this and that, all this stuff. The truth is, without a glass of wine, there's something missing from the suda. There's something missing. Do I need the glass of wine to enjoy the steak? No. The steak is wonderful. It's great. But the wine kind of brings it all together. The wine brings everything together. It's mosif. It adds. He says, what does that refer to? Listen to this. Romes l'sodos haTorah. Now, we'll say that refers ultimately, again, to the secrets of the Torah. In other words, we'll say, if a person, and this is something actually interesting to contemplate, right? If a person goes ahead and all they do is they learn the nigla, right? They learn the revealed parts of Torah. And they never learn the nistar. They never learn the hidden dimensions. Could one lead a happy Judaic life? Sure. Of course. Again, you see, I'm biased with this, as I think all of us are biased with this, is that, you know, there'd be such a piece of my Yiddishkeit missing without nistar, right? Without the hidden dimensions of Torah. But again, that being said, a person can be absolutely functional, a good Jew, have a wonderful chayik in olam haba, a meaningful olam hazeh, and all you're focused on is what we'll call the bread and water of Torah. The bread and water of Torah is the obvious revealed parts that are necessary, utilitarian, practical. The yayin represents, or we'll say, the deeper parts of Torah, the nistar, the hidden parts. And by the way, we're going to see part of that also is that the way you get wine is you have to squeeze the juice out of the grapes, right? In other words, that wine doesn't just occur naturally, right? Crush the grapes, right? Well, that was crushing the olives from last week. Good. That excellent. Right? I'm sorry? I was going to mention this also. Yes. Incredible Yisod. Reb Shmuel, first of all, a special welcome to Reb Shmuel Karapkin, who's joining us here for the Shir newest. So be nice to him. We're also going to skip the Shir hazing for him. So, right, we're going to spare him from that.
He was supposed to take the heat off the salmon.
But he was what?
He was supposed to take the heat off
salmon. That's true. It's true. He's on call. Right. He's on call. Hashem. Welcome, welcome, Shul. Welcome, welcome. So I'll say, so Shul is saying also very good that there's a concept of nichnas yayin yatsa sod, which is when the wine comes in, the secrets come out. Now, by the way, that actually needs no explanation, right? It's quite obvious, as I think many of us have actually lived that, right? We're a little too much wine, and suddenly all the stuff that probably should remain inside, right, suddenly begins to come out. So in a very beautiful metaphorical little way as well, that Torah, that wine represents the hidden dimensions of Torah. Again, it's nice. It's nice. I don't need it. I don't have to have it. But it's beautiful. So watch this. Just like again, I will say, I don't need the glass of wine for the Suda, but it adds so much to the Suda. So too, again, wine refers to the hidden dimensions of Torah. I don't need it in order to go ahead and lead a meaningful, practical, uplifting, redemptive Jewish life, but it certainly adds a dimension of beautiful holiness. So I'll say, now watch this. Get ready for this. I want to tell you something. I'm going to pause you just a second. I'm very excited for the center of Hanukkah. I tell you, I happen to love Hanukkah very much. I love all Yom Tovim, which is I love every day very much. But Hanukkah is really special. I will say part of why I'm very excited also because I feel like we're going to be prepared this year. In general, when it comes to my Yiddishkeit, I feel woefully unprepared. In general, it's like my general feeling in life. I'm not prepared. It follows me everywhere. Like I start Daf Yomi Shir, I'm not prepared. I start my Seil Sesharim, I'm not prepared. I come to Shem. In general, like in life, I meet a challenge, like I'm not prepared. I could be doing so much more to be prepared for life. I feel like for the first time, it's actually interesting that for Hanukkah, I feel a little bit more prepared. Because I think last week, the piece we did from Bill Vavi and Chevra, if you weren't here last week, I'm going to post that shir on the chat. If you're not on the chat, Rishon, you on the chat? Okay. It's not a shir if it doesn't have a chat. It doesn't happen. If it doesn't have a WhatsApp chat, it doesn't exist. Right? It doesn't exist. Okay. I'm going to receive an Adam. Excellent. Excellent. It's on the podcast. Also, I'm going to post it. I will say, if you weren't here last week for the Bill Vavi shir, David, was it transformative? Killer. That's good. That's a good thing. I wanted to get on the record. Crushed it. I learned also that crushing it is good. Crushing it is a good thing. You know, sounds bad, but apparently it's a compliment. Good. I'll say, so we had that piece last week, which really taught us like the message of the oil. And now look what the Rebbe is going to do. And I feel like if we internalize last week's share, this week's share, I push. I feel like ready to go, like confident to go into Chanukah. What the Rebbe says. So I remember again, when it comes to Suda, three things. Water, bread, wine. Water, bread, the necessities. Reference to we'll call it the necessary part of Torah, the nigla, the revealed part. Wine, not a necessity, but makes everything come together so beautifully, the hidden dimensions of Torah. The Rebbe says, by the way, there's a fourth part to the Suda. Get ready, meat. Get ready for this. Get ready for this. Ach, yesh dava revi. There's another thing. Shemen. Is oil. Frying. Right, it's 100. Canola oil. Let's say no. Shemen. Now, by the way, we'll say why is he bringing down shemen? Because the truth is, again, remember the one thing he's not talking about over here is like what are you having for your meal? Like what are you eating? But chances are, whatever it is that you're eating is generally going to have an ingredient. And what is that ingredient? Oil. In some way, shape, or form. Right, it's part of the preparation of foods. So the Rebbe, he doesn't say that, but I believe that's what he means. So there's another staple in the meal, and that's oil. But I will say, what's the difference, says the Rebbe, between water, bread, wine, and oil? I should say water, bread, wine, and oil. Look at this. Ha'hevdol beino lebein advar ma'achirim hu, listen to this. Shelechem mayim v'yayin, efshar le'echol olishtos kishehem li'atzmam. Here's the difference. Water, bread, wine, you could eat each of them by themselves. In other words, I don't need to add anything to water to eat, to drink it. I don't need to add anything to wine to drink it. I don't need to add anything to bread to eat it. It's there. Ulam, shemen eino ray la'achila o l'shtia kishul atzmo. Now let's say, oil's not like that. Oil cannot be consumed by itself. I will say, by the way, I'm going to tell you the exception to this rule. Get ready for this. The exception to this rule is olive oil of Eretz Yisrael. Olive oil of Eretz Yisrael. I'll say, I remember this going back a number of years ago. I was with my family, and we went to Emek Ha'ilah. Emek Ha'ilah is the Ella Valley, or Ella Plain. It's right outside of Beit Shemesh. That is the place where the battle between David and Goliath, King David and Goliath, took place. You could see, you could literally walk the steps. It was an open plain. That's where David killed Goliath. Right in Emek Ha'elah is a beautiful winery called the Ella Valley Winery. Ella Valley Winery. Incredible. I walk in there with my wife. I don't know where my kids were. I don't know. We're in a winery. Whatever it is. They can't get far. They were little. I think whatever. Maybe we tied them to a polo. I don't know. Whatever it was. Right? And so listen to this. So what was incredible is we walk in, and you know, they have a tasting, and the proprietor says, could I give you some olive oil? Give you some olive oil. So I was like, with what? What are we eating? You know, give me some olive oil. You know, right? So they say, no, I want to give you a glass of olive oil. So I said, pour it on what? Like, what? I still wasn't like, is this a salad? You have a piece of bread? What are we doing over here? And he said, no, drink it. And it was incredible. Then we went through the sugi Maseches Brachas, because the sugi Maseches Brachas talks about what bracha do you make if you drink olive oil? If you drink olive oil. So there's a whole discussion. Is it by prayer? It's like the olives. Is it shahakol? Okay, so I went through the whole sugya. So he said, try it. I made a bracha. I drank the olive oil. And it was absolutely incredible. It was absolutely incredible. It was sweet. It was sweet. And he said, these are the olives of Eretz Yisrael. The Shiva Saminim, right? Only the olives of Eretz Yisrael could produce oil that's like this. Something I will say. Eretz Yisrael is sweet in everything. Even the olive oil is sweet. So again, I think I was sick for a day afterwards. But all right, I'm just kidding. No, it was good. I was saying it was beautiful. I might have drank too much of it. It wasn't the oil. I think I got a little.
What was the bracha?
The bracha shakel. Because it's still not considered to be a normative form of consumption. So the Rebbe says something amazing. So, Ellie, what can we get you? I feel bad. Everything's here. Seltzer? The new one? Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. The new one. Wow. Excuse us. I'm sorry. So here's what was incredible. It was liquidy. Right, because otherwise, like, it'd be like, no, it actually went down. It went down. It was like a shot glass of. I don't know what it was, but it was delicious. I'm saying, I, you know what? It's also like when you feel like you're experiencing something unique about Eretz Yisrael, right? Again, olives are one of the Shiva Saminim. Eretz Zeis Shemen, right? So again, it's olives, and you see like the peros of Eretz Yisrael are so sweet that literally something you would never dream of ingesting just straight. Suddenly you can. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming in any event. So Rebbe says, but normally. Oil is not consumed by itself. It has to be consumed with something. He says, "Ulam shemen in oray la'achila ol l'shtia kishulatzmo." So wine, so let's go in order. Bread, water, and wine, you could consume by themselves. Oil, you can't. Ela, b'yoso mu'urav b'ma'achalim acherim. Ultimately, again, oil has to be mixed with other foods. V'asu mashbiach le'in aruch estamam, v'goreim tanugrav. Now the Rebbe says, here's the chap. Oil is something amazing. You see, what does oil do? Oil is a flavor enhancer. So you can't eat oil by itself, yet when you mix oil with something else, it's not just the oil that you're tasting. What does the oil do? It brings out the flavor. Like salt, right? It brings out the flavor in everything. So Moshe, now watch this. It's so incredible. So whatever writes, so Moshe, second section, page 296, where it says, Chag HaShemim, Benekudazu, now we understand why Hanukkah is different. Now remember, what was the Rebbe's question? The Rebbe's question was, every other yomtiv we have has a din of Seuda. Seuda is comprised of lechem, mayim, and yayim. Bread, water, wine. Hanukkah doesn't have a Seuda like that. All Hanukkah has is what? Shemen. Oil. Right? Mm-hmm. Shemen, listen to this. Hachagim ha'achirim, listen to what he writes. Kshurim lechalokim giluyim yoser shel Torah. So let's listen to this. So the Rebbe says like this. The other Yamin Tovim are attached to the more revealed aspects of Torah. Right? What we call Torah Sanigla. He says, even Yayin. Now remember, we just said before, but what a second. Wine represents the more hidden dimensions of Torah. So look what the Rebbe introduces us to. Vafa Yayin, Shebehem Romeis, Lisodo Shinitnam Legiloi. Even though, again, wine normally represents the hidden dimensions, we'll say, get ready for this. It turns out that there are multiple hidden levels, or I should say, multiple levels of multiple dimensions of hidden Torah. In other words, it's not just the pshat. See, we always thought, before you came here tonight, I would have thought, somebody would have asked me on the street, how many layers of Torah? I would have said, there's nigla and there's nistar. There's revealed Torah, there's hidden Torah. The Rebbe says it's not true. There's revealed Torah, there's somewhat hidden Torah, and then there's really hidden Torah. Right? There's nistar, like first level nistar, and then like much deeper nistar. So wine represents kind of like the first level nistar. Right? The first level hidden Torah, the level right underneath the nigla. So I revealed Torah, Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, that's all the revealed Torah. And then I have some level of hidden Torah underneath that. And then it says the Rebbe. And again, remember, so the revealed Torah, that's my bread, that's my water. The first level of hidden Torah, what is that? That's my wine. And then there's oil Torah. Then there's oil Torah. And oil Torah, we'll say, is the deepest of the deep. The deepest of the hidden of the hidden. He goes on, he says, Ula, Chanukah. It's even deeper than Purim. And that's going to be the incredible part. So we'll say the Rebbe, you know what Chanukah is? So we'll say, remember this term, rosin de rosin. You know what that means? The secrets of the secrets. Meaning even the secrets of Torah have secrets. The secrets of the secrets, that's Chanukah. That's oil. It's the deepest lever. It's the deepest level. V'kan. So we'll say, so listen to this. He says, V'kan. Hanishala ha-sheila. Halo Chanukah u'chak shechazah. So we'll say, even before we go on. So ultimately, again, so we'll maybe leave off the rest. But before we go on, so now we'll say we understand. Why is there no su'udah by Chanukah? Why? Because we'll say, a su'udah by Chanukah would fundamentally undermine the depth of the Chanukah experience. Remember again, I will say what Su'uda represents. Su'uda, Lechem, Mayim, and Yayin represent the revealed aspects of Torah and what we'll call the first level of hidden dimension of Torah. So that's related to our Yom Tovim. Yeah, every Yom Tov has a revealed aspect. Every Yom Tov has a hidden aspect. Shabbos Kodesh has a revealed aspect and a hidden aspect. So every single Yom Tov we have, therefore, has Lechem, Yayin, Mayim. Or Lechem, Mayim, Yayin. Right? Bread, water, wine. Says Rabbi, you know what Chanukah is? You know what Chanukah is? It's Razin de Razin. It's the secrets of the secret. So we'll say there's only one thing you have for the secret of the secret. And what's that? Oil. Oil, I will say, is the rosin de rosin. Now here's what's interesting, I will say. Can you have the rosin de rosin by itself? Can you have the secret of the secret by itself? No. The same way that you can't consume oil by itself. But if you take the oil and you mix it with everything else tastes so much better when the oil is added to it. Or in the Rebbe's Malabosai, Chanukah brings us a certain deeper level of spirituality that cannot be felt the rest of the year. But you understand what this means? I want to point out, do you understand what this means for us? You know how Chanukah happens so often? You know what happens, right? I said this to my women's shir, right? What happens? Everybody's together. Right? The first night. Haneros halalu. Sounds terrible. Right? Mo's sur. Okay. And then what happens? What happens? Whoosh, dinner. Right? We're out. Hosei, it's so important to like take time to understand what it is that's unfolding on Chanukah. He will say, can I ask you a question? Is there anyone here who fully understands what the Rebbe is saying? No. But here's the beauty of it. See, Hosei, you don't have to understand it to understand it. I don't know what the Rebbe means when he says rosin de rosin. I don't know what that means, the secret of the secret. Hosei, that's exactly the point. I don't understand it, but I do understand it. I understand that what the Rebbe is teaching us is that there is a deeper dimension to the Ruchnius of Chanukah that cannot be matched in the entire year. It's greater, that's what the Rebbe says. In a certain way, it's greater than Elul, It's greater than Rosh Hashanah. It's greater than Aseres Yemei Teshuva. It's greater than Yom Kippur. It's greater than Pesach. It's greater than Shavuos. It's greater than Sukkot. Okay, Purim is a parallel rabbinic holiday, so that's fine. It's greater than everything. Because we'll say there is no other Yom Tiv that is Razin to Razin, of secrets of the secrets. There's no other Yom Tiv that's Shemen. Every other Yom Tiv is Lechem, Mayim, and Yayin. Chanukah is the only Yom Tiv where it's Razin to Razin. Shabbos say, let's spend a few moments trying to understand this on a deeper level. Because what does this mean? Like, what, so Chanukah is this deepest level. So what? I would say, like, I understand. See, the beautiful part is we've all been learning Chassidus together long enough to know your mind does not have to understand something for it to be correct. And this is the most important tenet of Chassidus. Even if I don't understand intellectually what the Rebbe is saying, emotionally, spiritually, I'm 100% there. I know that Chanukah contains something that cannot be experienced. As well, say, you know when you experience this? You know when you experience this in Chanukah? If after everything is done, right, the singing is over everything. They'll say, you pull up a chair, and you know what you do? You stare at the candles. Give yourself 10 minutes to stare at the candles, and you will feel something course through your neshama. And that feeling, you cannot replicate it throughout the year, and you won't be able to articulate what it is. But that is the razin de razin. There's something so deep and so profound that's occurring. So what is this depth? What is this shemen? What is this oil? So I want to say, so first of all, now the Rebbe answers that for us. Now I understand why there's no su'udah. Because su'udah, interestingly enough, to a certain degree, is really anchored in what we'll call nigla, in the revealed part of Torah, or in the first level of obscured or hidden Torah. But Chanukah is so beyond, so much deeper than anything else. Razin de razin, it's the antav of shemen. So I want to say, turn your package a little bit. Turn to the next page. I want to show you something beautiful from the Piagetzna. So now listen to this. So this is, just to give you the idea of this piece. So this, this was a piece that the Piagetzna wrote, Chanukah, in the year Tafshin Beis. So this was December 1942, where the Rebbe wrote, this was a drasha he gave, I don't know at what point in Chanukah, because it just says Chanukah, but it was a drasha that he gave in December 1942 in the Warsaw Ghetto. So remember again, you know the story of the Eish. This is now the Piagetzna's most famous sefer is the Eish Kodesh. Not every single Shabbos, but often the Rebbe had a secret minyan that happened in the Warsaw Ghetto, and he would conduct davening, and he would go ahead and give a drasha after Shabbos, and the drashas are. We're not doing this whole piece by Chanukah, I will say, because it's actually a very overwhelming piece. It's a very overwhelming piece in a tragic, sad sense. And I didn't want to bring in that component. But again, if you, I'll give you the whole piece if you want. But at Motzei Shabbos, the Rebbe would write down the drasha. It's actually a historical debate. If the Rebbe wrote down the drasha, or he had a gabbai wrote down the drasha, someone wrote down the drashas on Motzei Shabbos. And again, they saved them. The Rebbe died, and the Rebbe was murdered in the war, but they were able to hide, he or his guy were able to hide the drashas in a milk canister, and it was discovered after the war.
My understanding is that he wrote it. As a matter of fact, he went back and edited.
So it's a historical. It's a historical debate. That's about
I got it from Henry Abramson.
Yeah.
As posterity.
Yep, there's a machlokas about exactly who did what, but it's definitely the Rebbe's drushes. So I'll say, so take a look on this first page over here. So now this is page three in the past. Listen to this. So the Rebbe quotes over here. B'imei matiseo ben Yochanan kohen gadol chashmonei omanov, kisha'amda malchus yavan arashal amcha Yisrael, la'ashkichem sarasecha la'avirem mechukir ratzonecha. So we'll say, so we know this is the quote from davening. In the days of Matisyo, the son of Yochanan, the Kohen Gadol, Chashmonai and his sons, when the evil Greek regime stood up against the nation of Israel to cause them to forget Torah, to violate the tenets of Torah, or the pathways of Yeratzon, b'ata b'rachamecha harabim, amadata lahem be'is sarasam. And you, Hashem, you stood up for them at the time of their suffering. So the Piagetzna asks an interesting question. You're also just going to look at the first line. V'novinno, hola hashkicham sorasecha, lo tsarasam bilvadhi, rakam shalmalo kivyach valama or me sarasam. Suppose listen to this. So the Rebbe feels it's a redundant statement. In other words, we say, the Greeks stood up against us, Lashkicham sorasecha, to cause us to forget Torah and to transgress the ways of Hashem. And you, Hashem, Amarat Olahem, stood up for us be'eis sarasam, the time of our suffering. So the Rebbe says, all you really need to say is time of our suffering, right? In other words, you could leave out the part, Lashkicham sorasecha olaviram l'chukiru sanecha. Right? Leave out that phrase. Why do you have to bring in there? We know the story. But the point over here is, Hashem, you came to our aid in a time of distress. If you're telling me that God came to us in a time of distress, you can leave out the phrase that the Greeks tried to get us to forget Torah. We know that already. Or conversely, if you're going to say that the Greeks tried to get us to forget Torah, you can leave out the phrase of what? Be'is sarasam, in their time of difficulty. In other words, it's just a little bit redundant. So we'll say, if you turn the page, so actually, this is a much longer drasha. I only gave you one little snippet of it. But I will say, on the last page in your packet, so we'll say, you can see something. The Rebbe says something so beautiful. Last paragraph. Look what the Rebbe says. He explains, V'hine, gamai rotzua yivanam lashkicham sorasech alavir mokim tzerecha, v'asu zos, ayidei tzaris v'yisurim. So we'll say, skip down a little bit. Last paragraph. V'yisrael yadu, she asked Tachlis Kol Yisrael Guf Shegarmu Lehem Tachlisem Ulashkicham Sarasech Alvir Mekir Tzenecha V'alzeh Dagu V'hi Haisa Ikar Letzarasam. They both say, listen to this. The Rebbe says, I'm going to just say this outside just because of time. The Rebbe says, here's how you should make this a 2-hour shir, I think in the future. We'll need a couple of more courses. A couple of more sponsors, yeah. We're gonna need a lot, more water. So listen to this. Go back for just a moment. Okay, go back to page 3 for just a second. I'm sorry I'm taking you back and forth. So I'll say, listen to how the Rebbe says, go back to the top part where the Rebbe's quoting from the Siddur. So he says, what happens in the times of Hanukkah? The Greek monarchy stood up against us, and they went ahead and they tried to take away Torah from us. They tried to make us forget Torah. And what did Hashem, what did you do? You stood up for us be'is tzarasam, in the time of our distress. And we'll say, what was the distress of Hanukkah? What was the distress of Hanukkah? The distress of Hanukkah was that someone tried to rob us of our spirituality. That was the tzara, right? Va'ato amadato lahem be'is tzarasam. You stood up for us in the time of our tzara. What's our tzara? What was our suffering? Lashkicham tzarasecha u'lahavira michukei ritzonecha. The suffering of Hanukkah was not a physical suffering, as we saw before. The suffering of Hanukkah was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they tried to take our ruchnius. They tried to take our ruchnius. And when someone tries to take the ruchnius of a Jew, that causes me something. I'll tell you something amazing. I was thinking about this piece of the page yesterday, and I did not do it justice. I'll post the entire piece in the chat because it's a magnificently overwhelming piece. I'll say, you know, the Gemara says, we saw it in Maseches Nedarim, in Maseches Ksuvis, Adam Nidon, Begimel Dvarim. A person, right, the true nature of a person could be seen in three things, right? What are the three things, right? Koso, how does a person go ahead and hold his alcohol? Right? What happens when he drinks? Right? Kiso? Right? How do you go ahead and spend your money? What you spend your money on is a big thing. And kaso? Either that means, what do you get angry over? Or how do you behave when you are angry? Makes a lot of sense. Tell a lot about a person when they drink, that everything comes out. Right? Tell a lot about a person about what they spend their money or how they relate to their money. And you tell a lot about a person by what they get angry about or how they manage themselves, how they compose themselves in a time of anger. I will say, I think, thinking about this today, and I think that there's another thing you could add to this. I was like, the other thing you could add to this is bitzaro. What does a person get upset over? What does a person like? What gives a person pain? What causes me pain? And also, you could tell a lot from a person about what causes them pain, right? In other words, for some people, again, you know, they don't get the gashmius they want. They're in pain, like they're in distress. Excuse me, a person, something in his career doesn't. You could tell a lot about a person by what pains you. And I both said, do you know what the incredible part about Hanukkah was? We discovered as a people, Be'is Sarasam, what causes us pain? What causes us pain? I both said, you know what causes us pain? When someone tries to take our ruchnius, that causes. You want to take my life? The Jew is always, Abba says, always been prepared to die al-Kiddush Hashem. If I need to give my life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I stand ready to do so. That has been the power of the Jew throughout the ages. No one has ever been willing to give their life for their God like Am Yisrael is. But it's incredible. It's not dying al Kiddush Hashem that gives me the greatest amount of tzar. It's the thought of losing my ruchnius that gives me the greatest amount of tzar. It's the thought of being spiritually deprived. It's the thought of having my spirituality removed from me. That's what causes me tzar. And that's what we say. That's what we say ultimately in Mimatis Yo. We say, Hashem, what did the Greeks try to do? They didn't try to take our bodies. They didn't try to take our lives. What did they try to take? What did they try to take? They tried to take our Torah. They tried to take our ruchnius. And what happens? What do we call that? Hashem, you stood up for us be'isar asam in the time of our tsar. Because do you know what causes me tsar more than anything? The loss of ruchnius. So we'll say, what does that tell you? If what causes me tsar more than anything is loss of my ruchnius, what does that tell you? That the most important thing to me in life is my spirituality. The most important thing in my life is spirituality. I will say, I think that this is the Razin of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. This is the secret of the secret of Chanukah. The Rebbe will say, you know, you ask a person, what's important to you? What's important to you? So we'll say, stop a person on the street. What's important to you? What's important to me? My family is important to me. My career is important to me. My home is important to me. All correct answers. The Rebbe will say, you know what happens? When you peel away all of those, you know, we'll say, you know, one of the most overwhelming things in life, all of those things that are important to us, ultimately, again, you can't control them. You know, you never know what will or what won't happen to all of those things. At the end of the day, the one thing that is most important to the Jew is my relationship with Hashem. Because we'll say everything stems from that. Everything comes from that relationship. There is nothing more important in my life than my ruchnius. So you stop me on the street. What is the singularly most important thing in your life? And the answer is my ruchnius. Now, both sides. My ruchnius takes on many different forms, right? My ruchnius allows me to be a better husband. My ruchnius allows you to be a better father. My ruchnius allows you to be a better employee or employer. My ruchnius enables me to be excellent in all of these various areas of life. But you want to know what is the most important thing in my life? It is my ruchnius. And I both say, when did we learn that? When did we learn that the most important thing for a yid is his ruchnius? When did we learn it? Chanukah. It's the shemen. That's the shemen of Osai. The shemen is ruchnius. Shemen is ruchnius. And ruchnius, like shemen, you mix it with everything else. Osai, what happens? You dab a little oil on anything, and what happens? It's delicious. You take your ruchnius, you mix it into every area of your life, and Osai, what happens? Delicious. You mix your ruchnius with your marriage, you're going to have a great marriage. You mix your ruchnius with your parenting, you're going to be a great parent. You mix your ruchnius with your career, you're going to be honest and successful. You mix your ruchnius with your gashmius, you are going to have a healthy relationship with your material side. You mix the oil of ruchnius with anything, and it just makes it better. It just makes it more delicious. And I will say, this is the shemen, this is Chanukah, this is the razin, the razin. At the end of the day, the takeaway message of Chanukah is that the most important thing in my life is my ruchnius. I will say, right now we're learning it. The avod of Chanukah is that by the time we get to the eighth ner, to be able to say it as an affirmative statement. The most important thing in my life is my ruchnius. I know it sounds strange. What? My ruchnius is more important than my wife? My ruchnius is, I mean, don't say this to your wife yet. Work this through. Right? Finesse this a little bit, right? Right? The most important thing in my life is, ruchnius is more important than my wife? Ruchnius is more important than my kids? And I both said, you know what the answer is? Yes. Yes. Because what are you without ruchnius? What am I without shemen? What am I without my, what am I? I'm a shell. I'm a vessel. I'm a kli. I'm not a husband without ruchnius. I'm not a father without ruchnius. I'm a nothing without ruchnius. I'm an empty vessel without ruchnius. So yeah, the most important thing in life is ruchnius. And I will say, this is the take-home message of Chanukah. The most important thing in this world is ruchnius. And that's why, again, going full circle. So that was the Piagetson's contribution. That was the tzara. The tzara of Hanukkah, someone tried to take my spiritual. You take my spiritual, you might as well rip the heart out of my chest. It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing. You tried to rob me of my spirituality. Without that, there's nothing. That's the tzar. And says Lubav Sheva, that's why there's no Suda in Hanukkah. There's no Lechem, Mayim, or Yayin. Because that refers to the Nigla, or the first level Mister. Hanukkah Shemen. Rosin, the secret of the secret. Nabosai, the secret of the secret is that the most important thing in my life is my Ruchnias. Nabosai, we should be Zocha, Amir Hashem. We should be Zocha, Temir Hashem. Go ahead and internalize this lesson of Hanukkah. And Nabosai, again, to not just say, the Shaila is, and this is the hard part, to look at our lives. Nabosai, it's easy to make statements. The Shaila is, when you look at my life, does that value, am I living that value? Does my lifestyle clearly show that Ruchnius is the most important thing in my life? Or no, I like to say that cheer, but it's not really portrayed in the way that I live. And the goal of Hanukkah Rabosai is not just to say Ruchnius is the most important part of my life. The goal of Hanukkah ultimately is to create a lifestyle, to create an approach, to create a personality where I'm able to live a life where Ruchnius is the most important thing. Shemen is the most important thing, and I become a Jew of Rosin de Rosin.
We're going to leave the tablecloths on. If everyone can throw out their garbage, please.
We will daven Merit.